Hello there, Beard here.
So good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time it is you're listening to this, handy viewers, such as you are, and welcome to this, our entirely, I don't know, not this is wholly selfish on my part, as vengeance looms on the horizon and I panic gratuitously over what the hell to do about veteran Captain Boar. I thought I would assemble people to try and work out a whole bunch of tactics for me. Yes, that's a thing that I can do. So first of all, hello Connor.
Hello!
And it does it at the same time, every time. Congratulations on your recent tournament win.
Yeah, it's about time.
And also, Toronto-born such as you are, congratulations to the Raptors, who are, what, 1-1 against the Golden State Warriors at the moment?
Yeah, 1-1 at the moment, but we're holding hope that if every Warriors player keeps getting hurt, we might actually win this.
It's worked for them in the past, so I don't see why that shouldn't work for you. He's not with us this evening, but congratulations to our good friend Mr. Panzer Harris and his beloved Liverpool United, or Liverpool Football Club. I don't know what they're called. Not really my
Sports
thing.
Sports Ball
on winning the big cup with the huge ears against a London team, which made Peter sad. Ah, sorry, Pete. But in his stead, we are joined at the last minute by Mr. Steve Cole. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
The infamous Scotsman that wasn't present at the Scots Nationals.
Yeah, well, I enjoy being married, and apparently being divorced is less fun, so I thought I'd stay.
Are you not allowed to visit the homeland? Is there some kind of...
It was one of those weekends it just didn't work. I was very sad not to be there, but given I'm mostly playing blacksmiths at the moment, getting stomped by much better blacksmith players.
All of whom seem to live in Scotland.
Yeah, they're all there.
I'm still firmly of the opinion that Scottish wargamers have purposefully gotten good at Guild Ball purely because the ranking system is called Longshanks. And that's a historical joke that very few people will get, but there we are.
I think it's entirely correct, though.
So, yes, what we wanted to do, or rather what I want these far more intelligent tournament-winning types people to do, is to have a go. We're going to go through each of the guilds individually, one by one. This will take forever, honest. And have a look at what the various guilds have in forms of tech and in form of tactics against the somewhat ubiquitous veteran Captain Boar and his Butcher's Guild at the moment. Now, far be it from me to say that he's OP or broken or anything like that, because I'm not convinced that's true. But what I can categorically say with the production of the Snowflake Report H and every single Monday is that he's very, very popular. Now, gents, you've faced him more in a tournament setting than I. So before we sort of go through each of the guilds individually, I think it's worth having a little look at what his team looks like, what his team's attempting to do, and sort of the general most likely composition of the team that you're going to be facing. Steve, do you want to start us off?
I can do. So I think I worked out that Boar has been 1/3 of my tournament games since he's been released. So he is common. He is common. I think it's really, really simply, it boils down to the fact that he scores momentum and victory points faster than you than most teams. So he's very efficient and he generates a lot of victory points, generates a lot of momentum. He has a lot of extra stuff that the team brings. So he brings momentum to the team. He's both a support captain and a super solo to a certain extent. He's more controllable than, say, Fillet or something like that. But he has the potential to be a super solo. He's got good threat ranges because you've got multiple movement buffs in the team. He's got great damage output because he's butchers. But he also has access to drags and things like that in Vox. And he also has access to a range of buffs that he himself gives out the team, but also he has access, it's a team that has access to things like Tooled Up.
Yeah.
So I think that's the basic mechanics of it, I think. And he has a very powerful kicking game and a very powerful receiving game, so he's not necessarily disadvantaged by either. And the most common, I think, squaddy that you see with him, you see Shank with him. all the time, and essentially he turns Shank into a second captain on turn one. And that is, so you have a really long threat range from Shank, either kicking or receiving. He can have a huge damage output, and he can also generate you a lot of momentum. So he has got a lot of very potent things in his favor.
Big numbers. Essentially, though, in every single category, big numbers.
Yeah.
Big numbers, lots of influence, and just so fast. That team is so much faster than other 5D teams,
sure,
traditionally.
Now, I think, Connor, both you and I sat here a couple of months ago and sort of reacted quite fiercely to the fact that just how much influence he gives to the team and how efficient he's going to make that team. I think a certain degree of pats on the back for us.
Yeah. My first take on the model when I saw the card is he might be the best captain in the game, and I think I was right,
at
least close to right.
You're certainly in that conversation.
Yeah,
he's
definitely the easiest captain to play at that level.
Yeah. And he synergizes well with the squaddies. So unlike, say, Corbelli, who has, you know, doesn't necessarily, like, if you took, you know, if you just picked Corbelli up and dropped him into Fish, like, he would be more powerful than he is. Yeah. Whereas, actually, it's hard to think of a guild that you'd pick Vet Boar up and drop him into.
Yeah.
That he would
But that being said, if anyone from Steamforge is listening to this and is thinking about a shark buff, Corbelli's card's a good place to start.
So essentially what we're looking, I mean, it seems to boil down, now, just to sort of really stress, if you're wanting top table tournament tactics that are going to potentially win you your local games, go and listen to Strictly the Worst. Or go and listen to Dan Adams and John Parrish argue with each other on Roll Better, frankly. What I'm more concerned about, because if you look at the sort of recent tournaments over the last 6 months or so, or since his release, Veteran Captain Ball doesn't have a huge dominance at the top of tournament games, with the exception of Alex Botts just really winning the East Canada Nationals with him. Quick aside, can someone explain to me how Nationals is divided into East and West? I don't understand that. Surely those are semi-finals. Anyway, you know, he's not a big top table appearance. What I'm talking about more is more your 5th to 15th spot in a tournament, or what I like to refer to as where I live. And I'm very selfish. I want some tactics for me. So what I tend to be seeing happening with him is he seems to fall into two schools of thought. One, you want to be kicking with Shank the buff from Roast goes on to him. Oh, no, sorry, the buff from Cinnamon goes on to him for the speed. Possibly has tooled up. The Chop Chop Legendary gets burned turn one, and a Furious Shank comes in, gets as much momentum as possible but doesn't kill anything, goes first turn two, kills something, snowballs from there. That seems to be how it looks to me.
Yeah, it tends to be when kicking, barring your opponent making major mistakes, Shank tends to be the only model that gets to engage turn one. So you tend to put all your influence through him. And the buffs kind of vary. I mean, I was looking at Alex Botts's, he posted the lineups he ran at East Canadian Nationals. And he only ran the same lineup twice, I think, in his six games.
And that game was different to the lineups that Dan Harwood has run.
Yeah.
When I played him.
So there's a lot of debate over the actual squaddies, but whether it's Roast or Cinnamon or Meat Hook or Boiler putting Mark Target out, you generally see all the influence getting siphoned through Shank. Shank either kills someone end of turn one or top of turn two, and then usually Boar will go early turn two and also kill something. And from that point, they are on boatloads of momentum. And it's pretty tough for some guilds to recover from that.
So essentially, it's just choose your buff of choice, whether that's damage or speed or influence.
Yeah, efficiency. I think it varies. It varies between personal preference and matchups, depending on...
I think the rule of thumb is people tend... You know, the default position from people I've played against is to go... is to go down the sort of Season 3 or even still Season 4 Veteran Decimate route with Shank. It's just a put as much on him as possible because he's the model that's going to go on turn one.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of probably this podcast will involve talking about turn one, because that's, you know, that's the bit you can plan for the most.
Yeah.
And there is stuff you can do later on. So I think that is the main thing, is that they can wash a lot of influence through him, and they can, you know, and he can connect. It's because of the movement boss, because he's got where they go, he can, and because he can then usually get, even if you have to where they go and charge, you usually still get four momentum out of that.
Yeah. There also seems to be the other school of thought, which is the non sort of chop chop missile, which is more the what we here in the London meta probably refer to as the Langton method, of sort of holding the chop chop in reverse. I don't know. It's one of those interesting things, because whether or not when to hold the legendary, and I think that's comes down to personal preference. But I've certainly seen games where like chop chop and even the handing out berserk doesn't even get used. Which is mind-boggling that he can still be that.
Yeah, I just lost a game to one of our locals, Francois, where I managed to isolate Boar, and he never ended up getting Berserk or the Legendary off, and I still lost.
Perfect.
But your squaddies are good. They've got good squaddies. Like, fundamental
even,
players.
Even if Boar doesn't actually use his buffs, if he's still killing a model a turn while providing two influence to the rest of the team, that's pretty incredible, even for a captain.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Do you, because there are some general things around that I think that you can do, which is I think is an interesting point. Is that
okay?
Because he washes influence so well. So interestingly, on the subject of good players, I asked Dan Harwood very quickly, because he'd messaged me earlier, like what he would recommend, since he's probably the top Butchers player in the UK, and he basically said, don't kill the ball, try to score, try to go 2-2, counter-attack. Usually you want to counter-attack, obviously, on the non-berserk attacks, but counter-attack on the first attack to try and force Boar or players to knock you down, etc. And you're not going to win momentum, so bonus time and heal.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's almost like playing against Obulus in that sense. Like, you know, he can take all your influence at some momentum at some point, so just spend it.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I think sort of allied to that, there's a couple of things. I think it's also a thing of, can you bring him, like, because his strengths are his the influence he brings and the momentum he brings and how he washes that, is can you bring him down to your level to a certain extent? So there's some generic stuff that's very good against him, which is things like resilience. Because actually, if Shank attacks you, fear, anything that makes it harder to charge, anything that makes it more expensive to attack, anything, you know, so like hypnosis or anything that removes influence, so like concussion and misdirection and those sort of things, because especially on turn one, they are still washing a lot of influence through one model.
Yeah.
So even things like cover, and like being in cover, putting that models with high armor at the front, because the potential to miss, like just making that potential to miss more likely, because actually if Boar or Shank or anyone in the team whiffs on a non-berserk attack, that actually affects their output quite substantially, because they then don't gain the second attack.
Yeah, and one of the things I'd say on that is, well, Vet Boar is actually a lot tougher of a captain to kill than you might think. Shank
so
is
much
not.
Health. So
and
much health.
killing Shank, if you can threat Shank early when you're receiving, it makes a massive difference, because it forces them to either activate Shank and commit him before all the buffs are up, or they have to back off. And that's kind of the same thing. There's a lot of similarities with Season 3 and even Season 4 Vet Decimate, where if you just let them pile on all the buffs on their kicker without doing anything to react to it, you're kind of playing into their hands.
Yeah, and repositions. If you can reposition Shank as well, or reposition Boar, then, you know, you're not gaining the berserk, you're not getting, so things like that work well.
Breaking the tether is big.
Yeah.
But as I said, like, the thing is, that Boar is so strong that doing any one of these things is not going to be enough. you usually have to do a few of them. But if you can, if, go ahead.
There's a lot to be said for breaking line of sight, breaking charge lanes, having a low value target. In
also just never let Shank charge without having to where they go.
Yeah, exactly, because he's just lost two attacks. Perfect. So, with general principles aside, I'm conscious in the sort of the we've spent 15 minutes talking about him. Let's spend some time talking about what each guild has in the way of stopping him. So we go through these alphabetically. So, Steve, it makes a certain degree of sense to come to you to talk about alchemists.
Alchemists, it's quite a rough matchup for alchemists. So I think on the, if you receive, I think exactly as Connor said, if you can tag Shank with an AoE from Mercury or Calculus, probably Mercury, because Calculus has gives you less in the longer game in that matchup, then if you can tag him with an AoE, take him down to 12 health. If you can get smoke to him, smoke can theoretically do 12 damage to Shank.
Yeah.
So you put that pressure on that you have to do something with Shank, or if you have a couple of momentum, there's a 50% chance that smoke just kills him. And that then puts you actually in a very strong position, because they get nothing from Shank. You get last activation, so you probably score, and suddenly you're starting the second turn up on momentum and on 6 points.
Nice.
So that is doable. It's a coin flip, and the trade-off on that coin flip is that if smoke misses, Shank probably kills her either at that turn or at the top of the next turn. So you're making a trip, but it's probably worth taking. It's probably worth going for, and especially if you've got a bit of momentum from passing. If you're kicking, it depends a lot more on the lineup of the opposition team. But I think what you can do is still exert ball pressure with Vitriol. Or Crucible. Vitriol's my sort of preference in that, because she is probably better at bouncing off people.
Well, with Clone
is really helpful. The tricky bit with Alchemist in that is is actually the mascot decision, because Nazir is better in Tabor because of Hypnosis. Because he's one of the few models that actually has odds on to survive a Boar charge. So if you can block a charge lane with him, and Nazir unpredictables and counterattacks, it's fairly likely that he gets out and Boar's just standing there. So that is quite a helpful thing. But Flask gives you Clone on Vitriol, or it gives you a free smoke bomb for smoke to jump into on that. So there's a sort of certain question around that. But a cloned Vitriol post goal is very annoying for Boar's team, because again, the first attack whiffs and you have to deal with it, and she's defense 5, so things like that she is quite a good option in there. I think unless by some miracle your opponent doesn't bring Boiler, like literally doesn't have Boiler in their team, then you can think about dropping the gun line and dropping compound. I'm still not totally sold on it, just because Shank can usually engage someone and be out of counter charge because of where they go.
Yeah, we're talking sort of for Boiler here, for Mark Target, for procking resilience.
Yeah, he just pops up and throws Mark Target at compound 3 times. And it's, you know, that covers probably a 20-inch threat if you've got Cinnamon's buff in the team. So it's pretty hard to use compound effectively and keep him out of target range for Boiler. So I think those are probably the two. I think what you're trying to do is accelerate the game. Which seems odd, because you want to, you think, oh, I need to keep them out. But actually, the thing is, you want to score points as fast as possible, and you really want to use the ball. And I've learned this the hard way, playing the wrong team against Dan Harwood in the Coin Wars final, and getting and it's starting out all right, and then it quickly falling away, because I think once Boar gets into Alchemist, he makes a bit of a mess of them. But you can again use things like players like Catalyst. You have has very good pushes. So you can use Catalyst to again untether Boar from his teams, and especially on the legendary turn, actually sort of suicide bombing Catalyst into Boar and blowing him away from the rest of his team is worth doing.
Yeah.
I think. And again, it's that, spend the influence, spend the momentum, take the counter attacks. But Alchemist's quite good at going 2-2. So they have some tools into it, but the problem
is. It is a rough matchup.
It is, because they have no native move or attack buffs, so Boar does out threat you, so it's more about put the pressure on the kick model turn one, definitely try and score, definitely try and get into a position where you can threat multiple angles on the ball on turn two, so using Crucible, using Vitriol, using smoke. Some people play Midas. I'm not against playing Midas in that. I think he brings different things to the game.
I think he threatens less takeout in return.
Exactly, and he doesn't have the ability that Smoke has, which is just to stand in the middle of the team and generate five or six momentum for one or two instances, which can be, you know, enough to swing the game for you. And also, actually, because if Butchers take a ball killing model, it's often, you know, one of the briskets.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, ball killing with the Butchers, does that make Crucible pretty much an auto include if they're going to do that? A, because of the getting around of Charmed Mail, and because she is, in your own words, the best ball getty piece.
They're just the rival podcast field.
Not a rival, close personal friend. Close
personal friend. Yeah, I think she's one of them. She can threat the ball from a long way away, and actually she can, in some instances, get round some of the Butcher's threat ranges because the threat that she puts on the ball is quite extensive. So I think her and Vitriol, I would almost always take in that matchup. And again, Smoke is actually interesting in that because of Charmed Mail, and because of unpredictable movement, Smoke is actually probably not notably worse than Midas at getting the ball off of Fillet. And then if they're putting it on someone like Roast, well,
fantastic. Everyone's
Roast. Like, you know, he has got mass and things like that with resilience. But I think that is, so that I think is the way to go against them. You can't outfight them without
Is Venin in some ways a trap? Because you're thinking, oh, I want the 4-2, but you're not really going to be able to punch back in the way that you want, and you're sort of stopping having pieces like Catalyst for positional disruption.
I think you definitely want Catalyst, and then I think it probably comes down to kick or receive. And I think if you receive, you probably want Mercury, because you want to be able to throw that AoE onto Shank and threat that. I think if you're kicking, you know, they can come in at different angles. It's much harder to connect. And Venin is slightly more durable than Mercury, and his damage output is higher. And he fuels your models on turn one.
Yep.
So usually I would always play Venin over Mercury in that sort of situation, unless I have a very specific thing that I want to do with Mercury, i.e. hit someone
hit Shank
or use
range.
The AoE to slow people down.
Okay, interesting. So not quite as sort of shoulder shruggy as I first thought. There is certainly an avenue for alchemists to take. So feel free, alchemist players, to play that last 5 minutes back over and over again, slowing it down so you can understand Steve.
and then tell me how wrong I've got it. I think it's the appropriate thing for all alchemist players to do.
They do enjoy telling Steve he's wrong. So from a potentially terrible matchup to probably the best one, he said quizzically, or certainly one of the better ones, in the form of blacksmiths. I've had a degree of success running Anvil into Anvil Sledge, Cutlass Culverin, Faris, and Vet Cinder, and just sort of, you know, doing a similar job to what you're saying there, peppering them at range with Cutlass and Culverin, disrupting with that knockdown and the push. And then just happily sledging whoever comes near. Steve, you have a slightly more, and this is the guild you're maining at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got a slightly more, I do this on the kick, this on the receive, and we've spoken about this at length, and it makes some sense to me. So again, I'll hand you the reins.
I'll be good. This is because I used to collect guilds in alphabetical order, so by the time you get to Cooks, I'll have nothing to say. I think there's various ways you can play this. So the way I play it is Faris on the receive.
Yeah.
And the idea of that being that you use the Faris Legendary on turn one. And as we talked about, the Faris Legendary allows you to do two things. It allows you to generate an awful lot of momentum, particularly if you have Bolt in the team, because you can essentially generate three momentum from one influence under that Legendary. And it allows you to make your threat ranges exceed or equal Shanks.
Yep.
So it takes that away. So you're again, you have access to Tooled Up in the team, so you can then threaten to one-shot Shank with Sledge or with Veteran Cinder, or at least two-shot him. So you can do some quite interesting stuff with that while staying in your big clump of blacksmiths around a piece of terrain, all in Sentinel, so making it again much harder for Shank to output serious damage on you.
So just to be absolutely clear, we're talking about ride off being procced very early on from Faris,
as early as you possibly can. Yeah, as
and
early
then
as you can.
A million passes.
yeah, you just chain pass through the team until it gets to either Sledge or Vetsinder, and then you use it to basically take the dodge. So that's one of the ways you can play it. And then the other way of doing it with kicking is I tend to run Ferrite, because, again, she gives you the legendary, which gives you a movement buff on turn one, which is hugely important. And also she's able to sort of pull iron around and start yo-yoing iron into your opponent's team. And iron can kill Shank, he can kill Vetboar, he is the most durable apprentice, and the idea is also that you're going last, so you can either hold back iron or hold back whichever model you kick with, say it's Veteran Cinder, threatening that if Shank comes into your team, well, you're going last, you have the movement buff, so iron will probably come round and kill Shank, or at very least put him in a very unpleasant place, because don't forget, iron can also just walk up battering ram Shank into a bunch of crowd outs and then start hitting him. So you gain quite a lot of on the reposition with that. Now, interestingly, there's been some conversation about this on the Discord forum, and Alex Botts, who some people have heard of. Yeah, he plays football, apparently.
Best of luck to him.
Yeah,
he's Canadian, right?
So he plays similar captain choices, but plays very much for a 2-2 game.
Yeah.
So the sort of thing that, again, Dan was recommending. So he plays, you know, Hearth and Alloy and Pharis and Ball, and is much more looking to take the ball, get goals, and then, you know, with Blacksmiths, one of the advantages of playing with 2-2 with Blacksmiths is the takeouts do take care of themselves. You can't, with almost any combination of apprentices and masters, kill Shank and you know, someone else in that team.
Yeah.
Blacksmith was
Sledge tends to handle that himself.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, team doesn't necessarily have Sledge in it.
Is it Pharis?
Pharis, Ball,
Vetsinder. No, it's
Vetsinder. Vetsinder and
I thought it was Anvil Sledge.
Sledge. It could be, but either of them will do that job.
You
can do it, and Anvil and Sledge do very much help with that. So I think there's that, you can do that as well. So Blacksmiths do have a lot of options into it. I think the risk, the mistake that people make with Blacksmiths, I think, is to missile apprentices into butchers, thinking, you know, hoping to take out Shank, or hoping to, you know, not keeping them in a safe position, and then just get slaughtered in return. Want to make them fight you in cover, in Sentinel, or you want to blow up the person that you're hitting and not.
Because this is certainly one of the overriding traits of the veteran Captain Boar team, is it can, if the player is not careful, overextend very, very quickly. And I think if you've got any degree of opponent model manipulation, that is something to abuse and take advantage of as much as possible. And that may just be, right, if you don't have a lure or a puppet master or a drag, you still have patience. And being, you know, sort of having the nerve to just hold your ground and let them overextend into you can sometimes be enough.
Yeah, and if you can neutralize turn one, they have a very strong turn one. If you can neutralize it, you know, if you end up roughly on par, that is fine. Yeah, but it's for those that played against season 3 veteran Decimate, it is like that. If you can make stuff not happen, that is okay.
Yeah, and it's interesting looking at, you know, popping across to Longshanks and looking at veteran Captain Boar's win rate into captains. He's only played 3 games into Ferrite, which, from looking at it, all 3 games are you or Alex, and he's lost every single time. So there is something to this. Choose Ferret, be a very good player. There we go.
Yeah, it definitely has nothing to do with Alex and Steve.
Exactly.
No, it's just Ferret. It's just Ferret. They should give her back Hobble for that reason. that's it. No, I mean, like, you can. I'll give you an example with Ferret of what else you can do with her. She does output well. So I played John Clemens at a tournament a couple of weeks ago. And he went in with, he had not the ideal Vet Boar activation at the top of turn 3 or 4, where he went into iron and sentinel in cover and didn't kill him. And then Ferrite went and disarmed Shank and knocked down Boar and weak pointed Boar. And then
weak pointed Boar,
Yeah, so then you've got Boar sitting on the ground next to the entire Blacksmith unit, but also Shank being TAC 4 and hitting in cover Blacksmiths is, you know, he can get one net hit. So
yeah, it's interesting because I've always kind of looked at disarm into this team and thought there's no point doing it. And the same goes for blind, because I'm constantly looking at veteran Captain Boar, because he just goes from TAC 8 to TAC 6, hits the singled out and goes back up to TAC 8 again.
Yeah.
The same is not true of the squaddies around him. So like things like disarm and blind have value into his team, where perhaps it doesn't have value into him. So don't discount them entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what cool. Connor was saying. If you can mess with Shank, mess with Shank.
Mm. Cool. So, Brewers then. Brewers are an interesting one, because in many ways they want to play a very similar game to veteran Captain Boar, in that you are still loading up veteran Decimate, not in quite the same way that you were before, but you are more making use of the double push rather than the damage output that she was doing below and trying to taxi someone back into your lines. So I think this is quite a tricky matchup in many ways for Brewers. However, the sheer volume of resilience that they can put on the pitch in the, you know, what has been charmingly dubbed the Fat Camp lineup, I think has a lot of legs here.
Yeah, Brewers are an interesting one, because they do, I think what Steve said about Alchemists wanting to speed up the game, I think Brewers kind of want to do the opposite, because Butchers have a really strong turn one, and Brewers do much better playing the long game now, especially with Corker, who I think is the drop.
Yes.
Because I think Esters just dies too easily and doesn't allow you to outfight them. Whereas Corker at least quasi keeps you up with the same influence the Butchers are making. The difference is Vet Boar has all that from turn one, whereas Corker kind of has to start banking it.
Yeah, I think the one thing there is you're lucky, you're good, I think, in that the veteran Captain Boar team wants to kick and the Corker team wants to receive. Corker is not as good on the kick as Esters, for example. Hopefully that works out, because you know you both want the same thing, but I think a canny Boar player will opt to receive against Brewers.
Yeah, but even just basically bunkering turn one, playing... Hooper still has tough skin too, doesn't he?
Yeah. Hooper has tough skin, yeah.
Yeah, so you can throw two tough skins up, bunker, just get the... beer tokens out and try to survive until basically you've got enough of those up to be in a fair fight.
Yeah,
I think it's a tough one, but it's a lot better if you receive. But it's still, you know, Shank and Vet Boar can just do so much damage, especially with tooled up, which I imagine most people will play into Brewers.
Yeah.
That like the Decimate kickoff is a lot less threatening than it is for other teams, because a tooled up Shank will just kill her.
Yeah. I don't think Fangtooth is as useful in this matchup as he is elsewhere, purely because I think the foul odor, I think the rough ground is the weakest of the defensive tech against this Butchers team, because they will nearly always have the momentum to glide.
Yeah.
By the time, I mean, if you can knock down Shank and I think also Fangtooth and Esters suffer from the compound issue of you have Boiler
and
Defense 3, so you can always remove Mark Target. You can always remove Resilience with Mark Target.
Yeah.
So it's that, you have the best tool in the game for removing Resilience.
Yep. Mash, I think, does very well here. I think Mash has the strongest survivability rate of taking a Vet Boar charge in the face if he still has Resilience.
Yeah,
but the problem with Mash is I'm also not sure what he really does in this matchup, because his biggest strength, other than not dying, is killing the ball, and I think Butchers are often fine with you taking someone to kill the ball.
I think it's a mistake. I think Friday is actually quite good in this matchup, because she can score from a very long way away if you receive.
She's quite good in a lot of matchups.
And, yeah, this is true. Friday is very good. Especially Friday with a knockdown tackle from Corker. But I think in this, because if you receive, you can score on turn one with her and get her relatively safe. and she can be relatively safe holding the ball, because actually she is the least attractive target for Shank, because she's, you know, 5'1" in cover or 5'2" in cover. And
she's so good with Corker, because she has one of the few two influence offensive character ranged character plays that you want to be using. So turning beer tokens into dirty knives is sweet money.
Dirty knivesing a kicking off Shank.
Once he's
taken an extra point of damage and is now defense 3-0, a lot of brewers can threat to kill him.
Oh, Vet Decimate will kill him, because you're hitting, especially if you Whiskey Chaser. You know, if he's defense 3, Vet Decimate has Whiskey Chaser, so you either do knockdown 3 damage, or you do knockdown stagger, and the then result. Get multiple attacks.
So Brewers is a, I think that's a genuine skill matchup, but certainly an interesting one. But I think what's quite good about the Brewers matchup into Butchers is that you're not having to reinvent your gameplay. You know, it's not like sort of season 4.0 when we had the Ox countercharge aura, which was the time I suddenly broke out the Brewers football team, and I had veteran Spigot and Friday going for goals, getting goals, and then hopefully I get a couple of takeouts elsewhere, which with Hooper and Esters and the like hanging around wasn't too difficult, and I was using Stoker to keep Ox away and on fire and all that sorts of thing. You know, I had to really change how I played Brewers for the Butchers matchup. What's quite good now is you just do your thing. You know, none of what we've talked about there is going to be a surprise to a Brewers player. You know, these are all tech and tactics that they're well used to and well practiced with.
I think the only thing that is slightly different is if you're kicking, is be very aware of when they have an activation set up so they can kill Vet Decimate. And that's because you probably cannot just sit and put all your buffs on Vet Decimate and then have her go. Yeah. Because actually, you know, once if Shank is in range with Tooled Up, he's just going to go and you're going to take that. Or if Vox is suddenly in range to drag her in and knock her down, then there are... So I think that is a really important thing with kicking with Vet Decimate, is being well aware of when you actually need to go with her. And also probably the other interesting one is when to just dump the influence on her and walk back into your own team.
Because you
can feel like you have to spend the influence or you have to do something with her. And I think that is quite common, especially if we're talking about in mid-tables. Like, you often play people that are like, you know, you talk to them after the game and they say, why did you do that? And they're like, well, I had the influence, I wanted to spend it. You know, but against Vet Boar, if you're putting something into the meat grinder, you might, you know, make it harder for them and just bring her back if you don't have a good drag target.
Yeah. Cool. All right, Butchers then. Now, the mirror match is a topic which is a source of constant disagreement between Connor and I. In that I will quite correctly say that a mirror match is a dull, narrative-breaking match that I want to avoid at all possibility, and is the entire reason why I produced the Snowflake Report, so I can do my best to avoid mirror matches at every possibility. Connor will tell you that they are the truest test of skill a gamer can have. Am I wrong, Connor?
Only Corsair mirrors.
And I think in this instance we're both wrong, because I think looking at it and talking to Francois and to Valerian and who are both very accomplished veteran ball players here in London, I think it's all about ball possession this matchup. Having the ball and being able to extend your threat in a fashion that your opponent can't, and then you just got to not make mistakes. Which sounds simple, but I think that's ultimately what this matchup comes down to. I don't think if your opponent declares Butchers and you declare Butchers, I don't think you're suddenly thinking, oh, it's time for Fillet, or, you know, it's time to break out Ox. I think you're both still going veteran Captain Boar. Or, you know, what have you gents seen in and around the tournament circuit on this?
it's definitely not time for Ox. It's definitely not Ox time. I think you're right. I think Vetbor is the drop. Mm.
Well, you say that, and I actually think this is an I've talked about this with quite a few people, and I think okay. if you receive, Vetbor's the drop.
Yeah.
But if you kick, I know Alex Botts claims, I don't know if he actually has done it, that if he plays the mirror and has to kick, he plays Fillet.
Okay.
Because
20-inch threat range she has now.
Yeah. Well, basically the reason is because if that boar in the mirror, whoever has the ball just has such a massive advantage of how to set up the fight. And in the experiences I've seen watching it, when it's players of equal skill levels, the person receiving tends to win.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair, because you have momentum, you have threat extension. I mean,
think that's true in every matchup either.
No, okay. But I think in the usually in a mirror you are heavily advantaged by receiving.
Yeah.
Usually,
well, unless you're a football-y guild with high kickoff pressure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a sort of rule of thumb. So I could see Philip also if you had the -1 to charge card as well. Yeah. So if you kick and you have Fillet and you have Roast, yeah, I can see the logic between that. Is it wingbacks that you charge for one
or
less?
Back,
it would take a braver man than I to do it, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I would have the guts to do it either, because I think the downside risk is much higher. And okay. I think most of the time you will see people just playing Vetbor, and then it becomes a lot of, well, if you kick, you have to take Meat Hook, so you can tool up Shanks so he can threat killing something. But then if the opponent knows that, then they'll probably take Vet Ox, who can bring in Shank.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a pretty interesting matchup with a lot of squatty counter picks.
Yeah. I think the draft is, yeah, you can lose.
The draft is very important in this in the mirror.
Yeah.
Okay. How so?
I just think Vet Ox creates a lot of board control that if you're receiving can help deal with the Shank kickoff. If you don't play Meat Hook and the other guy does, then you one round their Shank a lot easier than you can one round theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I think whether to play Boiler, like how many buffs do you take versus Boiler versus Vet Gutter Brisket. I think there's a lot of decisions to make there, because outside of Shank, there's not really a typically fixed six for Butchers.
Mm.
And I think if one person takes a speed buff and the other doesn't, then you just out-threat that person.
Yeah. Okay. And though I think that's still with the ball, I was just trying to think about this. Like, I think you have to take one speed buff, but I think kicking, you could be tempted into taking two, but I don't. But that obviously doesn't equalize the distance.
No,
that you're gaining through the ball. So the interesting one is taking Brisket as well, and you know, and actually if you're receiving, trying to be on 6 points at the end of turn one, and you know, having the extra two influence and all that sort of thing, so you have more options of
having an influence advantage over your opponent. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have so much influence anyway, but it's sort of having more options, I guess, to wash that influence through boars.
We've already spoken about how good Dirty Knives is into Butchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So things like that are quite interesting. Yeah, I think there are a lot of. I think there's a lot of. I mean, I don't play Butchers. I don't play with them. I only play against them. But I think there's a lot of options to for different ways of drafting in response.
Yeah, it looks like one of the more fun mirror matches, to be honest.
Yeah,
it looks fast.
Yeah.
So from one of the more fun to perhaps one of the less fun, Cooks.
This one feels bad.
This does feel bad.
It's like playing Vetbor without Vetbor.
Yeah.
It feels. We had a little chat about this beforehand. I've desperately been trying to think of anything. I think receive.
Yeah,
and I think score. Then I'm a bit stuck.
Their big problem is that their main ball retrieval piece appears to be Wellington.
Well, and the other problem is Sugar's snapshots are the one big advantage that they have over Butcher's. But she's not going to last, like, a turn. She's probably not going to last a single activation in snapshot range, because Boiler, just going into her as a 3-1 with Berserk, just one-rounds her without even any buffs.
Yeah, I mean, Cinnamon can probably do it. Like, there is nobody in the Vetboar team that probably couldn't
and if you're not playing the snapback snapshot game, I think Cooks struggle in general.
Yeah,
I think that's a big part of their game.
Yeah, Boris,
you just can't do that against Boar.
Yeah, he's not gonna. If you score into him, he's not gonna then go and get the ball and score back. You know, because that's the way that you can get ahead. That's the one way the Cooks can get ahead. It's because they can hit the takeout snapshots, but you know, no one's going to give you that.
I had a very quick chat to Dan Adams before this. Is probably, you know, from the people that we know, one of the most prolific Cooks players. His advice was to dodge the matchup, and I think that's you know, from the horse's mouth.
That just says it all.
We'll move on. Engineers. Ballista has had a terrible time into Vetboar. In 14 competitive games, Ballista has lost every single one. Only Rage has done worse. So I think it's fair to say that this is a Rivet matchup.
I think most matchups are these days.
I think most of them are. And I think it's interesting. This is one of the areas where we sort of really diverged, Connor, when the new captains were announced, is that I was really looking forward to a scrumming engineers team, and you were really looking forward to the hyper aggressive football engineers team. I think it's fair to say you were right on how the
You say that, and I think it's definitely the most common.
Even when I'm complimenting him, he has to contradict me.
I just don't want to get called out in the Discord. So John, who is currently the US West champion, supposedly plays a much more defensive Rivet team than most of the quad strikers we're seeing. I'm not even sure if the lineups are different, funny enough, or that different. But I know he plays a bit more of a defensive style. And David Cameron's actually been quite vocal in the Discord about this matchup. And I think a lot of people started with the all-out striker lineup, which typically is Spade, Original Velocity, Colossus,
Salvo,
and one of Salvo or Fuse. And I think David has now started to play Compound when receiving.
Okay.
Basically just to protect his players. Yeah. And I think the engineers lose a lot less by playing Compound currently than Alchemists, I think.
Yeah.
Because realistically, Velocity, Colossus, and Spade can take pretty much all your influence anyway.
Also, Attack 6 Compound is better than Attack 5 Compound.
That's true.
Yeah. He really is.
But I think either way you play it, the real workhorses in the matchup are going to be Velocity, Colossus, and Spade. And I think you probably aim for 2-2, because going 3-0 is just quite hard in general in this game. And Butcher's kill so fast is quite difficult. But between Colossus and Rivet, you can kill Butcher's players quite easily. And I actually think Rivet is one of the better matchups into Vetboar. I think it's still a struggle, because I think Vetboar's just got so much influence and power behind them. But I think the fact that you can reliably hit those tackle double dodges or reliably chase the ball with so much speed in that team and so much maneuverability. Something someone said in the Discord about a different matchup, but that I hadn't really thought about, is how good Toe is combined with the heroic play just to get out of a scrum.
So
having Rivet jog up, pop heroic, jog, and then pull everyone
walk away
out, and they all don't get knocked down, is quite useful.
And that it's a fantastic clocky. As someone that wins, wins a lot of games on points, or sorry, on clock points, or at least pushes the clock hard. Handing the clock over to your opponent and go, cool, you can now have 5 parting blows if you want them, and they're going to take them because they want to proc those sturdies, is a great way of eating up 3, 4, 5 minutes of your opponent's clock.
And even butchers don't like going into a 6-0 model, especially with Berserk. Mm. I mean, you'll probably hit the one result, but if you ever miss it, it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Especially a 6-0 model that can, I'm trying to think what velocity, if it's, say, Shank, velocity actually reposition is a decent odds on the counterattack of repositioning out of Shank as well.
Yeah.
So you have to base her, and then it's not unviable that she gets out, and that's
If you base her, she does. That's what's crazy.
It's literally one over. The likely thing she's hitting is the tackle double dodge. It's not that unlikely she hits the double push double dodge.
Yeah,
and then you're going also the double push double dodge and things like unexpected arrival.
You're not going to be knocking her down typically because the butchers don't actually have great knockdowns.
No.
And, like, Boilers is all right, but against a 6-0, he shouldn't be hitting it.
No. And I think also, basically, if you go in with Boiler and you don't hit the knockdown, Velocity's safe because she's going to get 2 inches of dodge or get the push dodge. And I think also she can reposition Boar quite well.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the other interesting one. She can drag Boar out of position either into your team or back into his own line if you're making a goal run.
Colossus for unexpected arrival is another really good one, and with his 50 mil base, he can sometimes basically charge in between Boar and Shank and knock both of them far apart.
Yeah,
lose him for that, but sometimes it's worth that.
The advantage with Velocity is you can do it while you're doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
You usually want to be going towards their goal. If you've got the ball with her and you're looking for someone to bounce off Boar and pull him back with you.
Yeah. Mm.
I think that, just forces that reset a bit. So, yeah, they do seem to have...
It's one of the matchups I think is better than most.
Yeah.
I think it's a matchup that's going to get better with time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, the more that we're in the current states that we're in terms of 4.1... And I see no reason for 4.2 to occur this side of September.
I've got my money on a week before British Nationals, as is tradition.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. We know we see them every 6 months or so.
I've got my money on the day of WTC team submissions just for the loss.
Oh, nice. Oh,
like 5 minutes before the deadline.
Jamie, if you're listening. Nice. Nothing will be as funny as Jamie taking a blank sheet of paper with forthcoming errata written at the top of it and having that side of table at WTC.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It's just like, whatever you do, I'm going to change it. revel in your heel status. So yeah, Engineers I think is a matchup that's going to get better with time. I mean, currently Rivet sits at a 30% win rate into Veteran Captain Boar on 24 games, so not fantastic, but I have high hopes for the cogs. Also, they're not a particularly well represented guild right now, which
they don't have a champion
apart from, well, I think Dave Cameron is like is repping them as hard as he can.
And John.
Actually, they probably have more champions than any guild, why it's an ongoing joke at this point.
Ah, okay. Humor.
They've got a Polish. They have more Worlds qualifiers than any other guild in the last 2 years.
But they just need to champion them.
Fraser just needs to win another event, though, and then Blacksmiths will technically have triple qualified.
Nice. Falconers.
Blacksmith.
I was having a little chat to our good friend James Reeves before this, who I believe is UK number one Falconer.
I think so.
And he's doing very well with them now that miners have been nerfed. Ultimately, I don't necessarily think that Falconers is the best matchup or have the most favourable matchups, but what I think they have is the least impacted matchup. Falconers players, just do you. Just keep doing what you're doing, because I think that's the strength, is just those, as James refers to them, those long-range drone strikes of just being able to go, are you within 14 inches? You are now dead. Which really, really threatens Shank. quite nicely. So I don't particularly need to spend a lot of time, I think, on D'Vana.
Well, the one thing I'll say that's a huge advantage for this matchup is I think it's a lot better if you receive.
Yeah.
And as a minor guild, you should receive the majority of the time.
Yeah, if you want to receive, the odds are in your favor.
And I think the other thing is basically, if you can first activation of the game, secure the ball, and put a Harrier onto Shank.
Yeah. Or at least the place where Shank wants to be or is going to be.
Either put a Harrier on him or near him, or move the bird to where it can be hack-backed into him. Mm. And at that point, you're putting pressure on him. So again, it's about making him go early. Because Shank, without any buffs, shouldn't kill D'Vana. And I'm not a Falconer's player. I don't know the maths. And I do think Falconers, more than most guilds, really need to know the maths of, like, what D'Vana's kill percentages are. Because I think a lot of their playstyle revolves around how few activations can I do before I can kill this thing.
Yeah.
And I think you probably need two Harriers. Three.
I think it's two and a legendary, or maybe Frelsey one. I think you do need to know it. I think you're right. I think the other thing is probably, I guess the thing that is slightly counter again to Falconer's usual play is possibly you want to score earlier than you might. You can kill Shank, and that is, you know, they have very good receive turn one into them, I think. Because they can force the early Shank activation or kill him, say, much more reliably than we were talking about Alchemist doing.
Mm. I think Egret's quite good with that as well.
Yeah, but it's like, how do you stop run? How do you get Rundas in and not? It's that second. So, the trouble is, once they connect, so I think you can probably get to 4-0 with takeouts, but I think the Butchers are going to connect with you, and then you need other sources of points. So actually, if again, you can kill, you know, Shank or make Shank activate suboptimally and then score with your last activation.
Yeah.
You know, from an angle you could get safe on. That seems to me, I don't...
And Ikros is very good at scoring from angles that other people can't.
But you also lose out. Like, I think the lineup choice for them is quite tricky. And I'd have to be an actual Falconer's player to know it. But I do think it's one of those things where they probably start up most games and end up just losing anyway. But I think if you can get up early and manage to get a goal in a way that can keep pressure on the ball, because if you get a couple takeouts and score, but then you're never pressuring the ball again, it's not actually helping you that much.
No.
But I think D'Vana can threat the ball. Depending, especially since I doubt Butchers are going to be playing Brisket in this matchup, so there don't tend to be a ton of high defense.
Cinnamon's the other
model.
Cinnamon's the one
who'll probably hold the ball.
Yeah.
It's probably on her. But then if you're forcing, say, Cinnamon to stay deeper and stay back, this is the thing you want to do is not take a whole load of Butchers to the face in that scenario. And I think especially it's very unlikely the Butchers player takes the boar legendary on turn one. I think that's very unlikely, and then, you know, because of the threat to your kicking model, so I think then they will be looking to get two to three, or they should be looking to get two to three models and vet boar coming into your team later on and then making that back. And I think once that connects, so the idea of dragging one of their models deeper into their own line to try and defend the ball against you is good.
And of course, you must protect D'Vana at all costs. Just because
if she goes down, it feels bad.
Real bad. Okay, Falconers, nice. Farmers.
Again, one of the best matchups.
Yeah, statistically speaking, Thresher is sort of has the third highest win rate against Veteran Captain Boar and the most games. So in 70 games. He has won 55% of the time. So odds on favourite to win. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that the current iteration of Farmers requires no setup in terms of damage.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is on their cards is what they do. There is no tooled up or anything like that anymore. And with the current version of, what's it called? Cabbage Punt or Cabbage Patch on
Bushel?
Cabbage Punt on Bushel, using that for the I'm Open Thresher Catapults. You know, they have just as much, not just as much, but they have, you know, an exceptional amount of threat range on Thresher.
There's so many different tools they have as well.
Yeah.
That you'll tend to find, like, some Farmers players would really recommend using Fallow to mess up with how killing works for the Butchers. Some, like, Bryce basically plays a fixed six all the time, which only includes Tater as the only other Reaper.
Well,
like,
Bushel and Tater.
I don't think I've ever seen Bryce run Bushel.
Yeah, he runs her into football teams, doesn't he?
Yeah, he basically uses exactly that I'm Open catapult to sling, to have a 19-inch threat range on Thresher.
I think I realized I've only ever watched him kick in streamed videos. Anyway, but yeah, it's been interesting talking to, seeing what Bryce is running, talking to Dave Margetson, and talking to, who's the American Farmers player?
Canadian guy?
No. I'm trying to remember his name. I was sorry
if I forgot
your name. But he's in the Discord, and he runs again. He really doesn't rate Tater and tends to run Windle, Fallow, and Bushel in some variation more.
Okay.
And so I think all of them have arguments to see play. You've got Rough Ground slowing down the team with Plowman, who you can take anyway because he's so good. Not like a tooled up Vet Boar will kill Thresher.
Yeah.
But even a tooled up Shank often won't if he's far enough away. So I think Thresher he's one of the only captains who can just fight against Butchers.
Yeah, especially with Millstone taking the knockdowns or Peck doing similar jobs.
Yeah, Fallow messing up stuff. Tater's counter charge is really strong. There's just a lot of different... And the thing is, people always talk about Tater's counter charge is not as good because he doesn't have the double push anymore. But the thing is, it just means, if you have momentum and if you can get to base, his counter charge isn't really relevant. But if you're going first in the turn, you don't have momentum. And if you're playing in a standoff, those 2 extra inches of having to be closer means Thresher can threat you a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's again another really meticulous matchup of who manages their threat ranges better, who brought the right tools.
Yeah. And of course, again, you've got two teams with Mark Target facing off against one another.
Yeah, although you don't see Harrow very much.
I don't think you take Harrow in that matchup.
No.
I think the healing doesn't...
healing does nothing.
Enough, really. Does. But I think what they do
still can knock people 2 inches forward.
Yeah, with Battering Ram.
And I think they do have, as we talked about at the start, that they can disrupt that momentum victory points game. As you've basically both been saying with the counter charge, but also even something like Windle, like, they'll kill him, but it won't get them any
momentum for it.
And actually, Windle's counterattack is pretty good in that because you just take the snack break on it.
Yeah. The healing counterattack. It's interesting because the Farmers are one of those teams I sort of spent a long time theory crafting, for want of a better word, over the last few days, and kind of like, do I take Grange and bring Grange forward and put up...
No. The answer is no.
And do all these little things and have Fallow and Tater on the counter charge and have Windle dangled as the Shank target. And you're absolutely right. I think the answer is no. Although Grange does have a 47% win rate against Vectra born 26 games, so not the worst. Can you tell I've got the statistics in front of me, by the way?
Yeah. Honestly, well worth paying the Longshanks monthly subscription just for the statistics.
The answer is no, and I think this is another one of those teams where your original plan is already the thing you should be doing. Play to your strengths, not to them, essentially.
Yeah.
Cool. Connor, you're going to have to... I'm going to have to, like, keep you shorter than usual on this subject, which may be difficult. Fish.
Yeah, Fish are good in this matchup, I think.
So Corsair has the second best win rate into veteran Captain Boar.
Yeah, that one surprised me a little bit.
I wonder many of them are Jared McGraw.
Yeah, and Frank. I do have a feeling that inexperience for most players playing into Corsair is probably a factor there. Because most Butchers players are used to being able to kind of impose their will or stay back and be safe. And Corsair does not let you play your game, no matter what guild you are.
Yeah.
Your
positioning is ruined.
Yeah. The downside, of course, is you're not winning the momentum race ever.
Ever.
And if Vet Boar does just get a charge, whatever he charges is dead.
Yeah.
A tooled up Vet Boar will still kill Corsair.
You don't even need tooled up.
You don't need tooled up.
You don't need meat hook in this matchup at all. I played
a few
games.
Vet Boar odds on kills Anvil in cover under Legendary in the charge, so he'll kill Corsair.
Yeah, that's fair. I do always underestimate the fact that, like, literally everything dies.
Except Nausea. Only Nausea survives.
And Obulus if you can't get base.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you get base, I think he might make it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think he might. But yeah, so I think Fish actually have three captains that all are okay to good in this matchup. Shark's probably my least favorite into it, but
so using that as a soundbite. I'm just going to have you saying Shark is probably my least favorite over and over again.
Oh, you're the worst. But you know who's not the worst is Yukai, who I actually think is one of the best captains in the game at dealing with Vet Boar. Because the... one, the legendary play to just get someone behind their lines is so useful for chasing down a killed ball. But the main one is Break the Surface is just so powerful against people who want to charge.
Moving an activated model in front of veteran Captain Boar is...
Moving Boar behind a barrier every
brick
turn.
Wall, yeah.
Every turn he goes back behind the barrier. I did that one game. Also, turn one, just basically you can throw Shank backwards, which break up the 6-inch tether, also have him 4 inches further away, and then you can Swirling Waters yourself back. So you're now, I guess that would be 12 inches away from Shank, which, I mean, he'll still get you because he's Shank.
But if you've got the ball, you've then got an additional 4-inch dodge on top of that as well.
Exactly. And just getting him where he's less efficient is big.
Yeah.
You've got Vet Siren is so fast, she can stay quite safe while putting pressure on the ball.
Fathom can go wherever she wants.
Is the best striker in the game. And
what do you make of Horizon into this one? It's just kind of like, okay, cool, you've killed him, have one VP.
Well, it's an interesting one. I think Horizon...
And then appearing in their back line to threaten the killed wall.
Yeah, Horizon for me is kind of my flex slot at the end of a lot of games. And I think it depends on what they run. The problem is he's probably one of the worst models in the guild for threatening original Brisket. Because he does not like attacking a 5-1 model with Unpredictable.
Who does?
If for some reason they didn't run Brisket, and I have had that happen where they ran Kill the Ball and Cinnamon and Roast instead. Mm. And then he did a ton of work in that matchup. But I would probably not play him if I think they're going to play original Brisket. I like Vet Sakana there because he can hit other people to get the ball off Brisket.
Yeah.
I like Angel because Linked is very powerful in a game where you need to win fast.
Yeah.
I like Kraken just because he can get you momentum without immediately dying.
And
he'll still
keeps Yukai safe.
Yeah, he keeps Yukai safe. You can chuck him around to force people to deal with him. I think Fish have a lot of good tools in the matchup. And again, just Fathom can score from safety if you receive, and she's got excellent kick pressure if you kick. So I've tended to find she's good for a goal or two every game anyway. And none of the Butcher's models are particularly good at stopping her from scoring. Because she struggles a bit with close control, but none of them have that.
Yeah.
And the only resilience model is Roast, who, yeah, it basically changes how far away you have to be to get to him. Mm. But as long as you have momentum or can get there without charging, you're usually fine.
Yeah, so you basically need to be too further in, don't you? But it's not end of the world territory.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, she's so fast coming back off the pitch. You've got like Hag to maneuver stuff if you need to. Like, there's just so many different tools depending what the opponent runs. But the main thing is just that Vet Boar is a guild that depends a lot on positioning, and Yuka is one of the best captains at just messing up with
disrupting
that position.
Yeah. I mean, if you go and watch the Springflynn videos, you've got Jared against Brad Moreland, which is a nice example of the Corsair matchup. If you want,
have you watched that one? Yeah.
I have. Yeah, it is not a strong. I think even Jared will admit it is not a strong turn one for him as a Corsair player. But I think the recovery and the way he sets up the pitch.
He hard flanking near? For the shove off the boards?
No, he was just beating the hell out of people in momentum from coup de grace. Essentially, you know, moving within. He received the ball, moved within. He had Corsair within 14 inches. As long, if Corsair's within 14 inches of anyone, then that person's getting the hell beaten out of them because he receives the pass, dodges 4 inches forward. Corsair then activates passes, dodges forward 4 inches, pops the legendary to pull whoever in. In this case, it's Brisket. He then just double pushes her back to his lines, and then advances and beats, you know, does some more of it to farm as much momentum as possible with the intention of killing her on turn two. Where that went wrong is that Brisket then immediately momentously tackles Vet Siren and scores.
Yeah, that's the issue I have playing Corsair right now is his
the other big thing is
ball holding is risky now.
Yeah, you need tentacles. The other problem you have with sort of the Corsair legendary variant of playing Fish is if you pull in Shank, a canny Butcher's player will where they go and run away. And just be like, cool, we'll just do this again next turn and you've got no legendary now.
Shank is rough for that.
Yeah. If you're, and the same is very true of Brewers in many ways, with Vet Decimate. Also, he's got no armor, so your anatomical's doing nothing. And I know it's not too bad, but you've essentially got something on your card that's doing nothing. I never feel good about it.
I think if you're going to play Corsair in it, if you can manage to get Kraken to be the first one to drag Shank in, it makes a massive difference.
Preferably with the bag of coffers from Vet Sack for the bonus time. Because then you're keeping hold of your precious, precious momentums. All right, moving on, as we have spent an hour and 20 minutes on this, and we are not even close to being done. Hunters. Hunters are an interesting one.
Hunters have a few very different responses.
I think this is a Steeljaw matchup. However, I would say that as the fan of the grindy, horrible long game. I don't know. I don't think Scather alone is enough to threaten a very strong football game.
I think that's right. And I think so Scather doesn't necessarily... Yeah, you can score, but what happens then? And then Theron, if you're pinning Shank, well, he has a decent viable dodge. Yeah. So that, but I think Steeljaw is really interesting because, you know, she can one round a squaddy, and basically the volume of traps you put out can make life rather difficult for a team that wants to charge.
Yeah, exactly.
You can block charge lanes. You can do, you know, you can, and you just can keep backing off.
Or just putting trap markers where they want to stand is
exactly
measurably useful.
Yeah, and Scathe still has some game into this matchup as well. The loss of Tenderizer's countercharge has made that a lot easier of a matchup than it used to be. The big downside, of course, is she's not great at getting the ball off of Brisket.
No.
Yeah.
No. And that's also, like, outside of Scaether, you have some models who are good secondary goal scorers, but you don't have an out-and-out striker. Like, Ygritte is probably the closest thing. Ulfa is still not a striker that I worry about when I face him across the pitch, and he's still not an effective enough striker that I reach for him. I don't know whether... Because it's weird, because Ambush is just potentially one of the greatest abilities in the game. I personally wonder if Lone Hunter, just if I can wishlist for a minute, and you know what? It's my podcast. I can. I wonder if Lone Hunter would be better served if he went to a 2-inch melee rather than gaining plus 2 tack.
That'd be interesting.
I think when he's having a variable engagement, I think would serve him better than more tack.
I could see that. I think it's again, how's he getting the ball off Brisket?
Yeah.
Like, how's he getting the ball off Brisket in cover, even when he's tack six?
It's dicey. The one thing, though, is I think having the snowball, the fast ground, and being able to throw up snared at range does make setting up the bear quite good in a standoff. But again, Steeljaw, I think, has also got a lot of game in there, just blocking charge lanes, messing around with movement. I think hunters have some decent options, but I haven't seen this matchup at all yet.
I think also because we don't see hunters that much locally.
Yeah,
they are the guild that has fallen off the most from 4.0 to 4.1. That doesn't mean that they are the least played by any stretch of the imagination, but in terms of just pure what I've termed meta swing, they are not seen in anywhere near the numbers that they were, you know, 8 months ago when 4.0 was its.
Yeah, they got hit a lot harder than the Morticians did.
Massively so. Yeah, I do think it is. For me, this is a Steeljaw game. It is a patient game. It is another meticulous placement game. In the open field, boar beats bear every time, but make the fight as unfair as possible. I think, and if anyone does that, it is the Mistress of Traps.
Cool,
makes sense.
Lovely. So, if you are a Hunters player, please do correct us if you feel a wrong. Either email us or pop it on the Facebook page, or shout at Steve on the Discord to tell him he's wrong. Masons, Connor, you've been playing a fair amount of Masons recently. Where are you going on this one?
I think this has got to be Corbelli and Hope You Receive would be my advice. I almost won it kicking the other day, but I missed a 5-dice snapshot, and it kind of all went out of control after that. I think Corbelli's definitely the drop. I think that boar has so much damage output that he just kills Hammer through the prison.
Yeah.
Which is one of the only captains that can do that.
Wasn't it the guys at Strictly that were like, Vet Boar kills Hammer and Vet Harmony?
Yeah.
In that matchup.
If Vet Boar goes into Hammer, you should just let Hammer die.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one. Honor, I think, is what I played into 4.0 Butchers when it was Ox with Countercharge. But Vet Boar does a much better job of one-rounding people in that team. I think it's quite a... And just the fact that the big advantage Honor had was the Chisel Missile could out-threat anything the Butchers could reliably do that would output similar damage, but that's not true anymore with Shank being a better version of that, really.
Yep.
So I think it's got to be Corbelli and you go 2-2. The Butchers do die... So Chisel can easily kill two Butchers in a game. She'll probably die at least.
I was going to say, I think purely because this iteration of Butchers isn't one that throws out conditions. So I think this is definitely an original Chisel over veteran Chisel game. Where are you on terms of is this, you know, does Brick get a look in? Does the double counter charge do anything in this matchup?
Not for me.
No, no, I don't think so.
I think Easton or Fraser were maybe talking about it at some point, but I think that might have been Scalpel rather than Vetbor.
Okay, gotcha.
But no, for me, I think it's kind of the typical Corbelli lineup, which is Corbelli,
Flint,
Chisel, and then whatever flexes you prefer. I think I ran Granite and Snakeskin when I played this. To have a winger on each side of the pitch to go along with Corbelli.
I can see Snakeskin just because she is a very good striker. Yeah,
yeah.
And highly mobile.
She can also kind of get momentum, put up nimble, and be relatively safe.
Mm.
I think there's always a risk that they play that Ox, who can kind of just drag her in because his play doesn't target her. But I think, yeah, Corbelli, if you can get the 6-point turn one, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility with Flint scoring and Chisel killing someone, then you're in a pretty good spot. Because you'll usually get the 4 for the legendary, and then you're just chasing a takeout or a goal.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, Corbelli dies so quickly to a tooled up shank or a Vetbor.
Yeah.
It's
Boiler.
A big worry.
Or Boiler. Yeah. Anyone. Yeah. Just anyone.
Well,
this
Boiler,
is the...
Boiler, at least if he misses the knockdown, you can get away.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're a 3-1 against him, so he probably hits the knockdown if he's got a bonus time.
Any more on Masons? I think that's probably it.
Yeah, I just think that, yeah, like, you just got to go for the goals with Corbelli. I think trying to
turns
out
he's quite good at, so.
Yeah, he's really good, and you've got a lot of tools to get to get the 2 takeouts you need to go along with the 2 goals, and just hope that if you have to kick that you get a good kick scatter.
Yeah. They feel like one of the teams that most wants to receive in that matchup. There's a very Corbelli always wants to receive, but like,
I think they're definitely the major guild where it swings the most on getting to receive, which obviously feels worse than when you're a minor guild, because at least you do receive the majority of the time.
Yeah. And at least with his legendary, it is very hard to kill the ball against Corbelli.
Yeah, there's not really a point of playing Chisel in a lot of ways, especially if you're kicking. Or not Chisel, sorry, Brisket. Because if you're kicking to them, they're going to get the turn one goal, and then you can put it on Brisket, but they're going to get their second goal.
They're going to get their second goal, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Masons feels good, but swingy. Miners, I think it's interesting. I've sort of said this with all of the minor guilds, and I think it's just as true here. You just want to do what you do. You know, you don't have a lot of tech pieces. You know, you've only got two flex spots, as it were. You've got 6 people on the pitch. 2 of them are fixed, and then you've got 4 to be chosen out of those 6. So you probably know that your guild well.
At least I would say miners pre Arata were possibly the best guild into Vetbor
or the game.
But I would say now I haven't seen it enough, but they still feel pretty good because they still, you can't keep them prisoner. You can still kill them, obviously, but it does at least mean you have to kill them. Otherwise they're going to get away.
You got a one shot.
They've got great ball recovery. They actually are one of the only guilds that out threats butchers. Not many guilds do, but they definitely do. And they've got good control tools. They've got a ton of places, a ton of pushes. So they're really good at spreading out Vetbor and Shank. The one problem they have is their damage output is a lot worse now. So they get the 2 goals really well, but struggle a bit for the 2 takeouts.
And I think they're worse at ring outs than they were as well. Throw changing, so they... Yeah, that's the tricky bit. Is I think they feel like they can get to 8, and then it gets quite tricky for them. And I think there is then merit, and and Brisket works against some of their players, like depending on what they draft and that sort of thing as well.
I think they're pretty good at getting around brisket for the most part, because Spade doesn't really care. Mm. And that tends to be who goes out. And Salvo can still knock down things. But in the end, I think you almost have to go 3-0 unless you can manage to lure someone near the edge of the pitch. Mm. Mule still does a load of damage.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is possible. Like, they can't. It's not like playing Shark.
As does Colossus.
No, yeah. If they commit hard, like if Shank goes in and kills someone turn one, you can kind of beat him up and take him prisoner. But that's still only one takeout. It's very tricky.
Well, I think if you can make them, I mean, if you make the error that you want Virtuous players to make, which is to overcommit, then they do have the tools to capitalize on that. It's whether you can or you can force people back into your, but you can sometimes, you know, push people back into your team and things like that. So it is.
Yeah, and Fisher disrupts stuff super
Fisher
well.
Fisher is, I think, is well worth stuff. Taking. Fumes
grinding tracks
as well. Clear. Clear is very
all
helpful.
Of their options are really strong here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Miners. Probably not the number one guild at going 3-0 into Butchers. I think that probably is Fish.
Yeah.
But I would probably put them second as the best tools to actually go 3-0 versus that board.
That's interesting. But I look forward to knowing why that is when we come into order in a short period of time. However, between now and then, Morticians. This is an obvious matchup, as far as I'm concerned. Morn and Scalpel. It's interesting. Scalpel has got a very good win rate. In fact, she has a 54% win rate into Veteran Captain Ball. She's just behind Thresher in terms of just positional disruption. But for me, this is still an Obulus game. Who is just behind her? You know, Morticians are the top six guilds facing Butchers with Veteran Captain Boar. Morticians are the only one with two captains in that number. And it's just their squaddies have so many ways of disrupting everything, because that's what Morticians do. Rule one, don't take Brain Pan and Memory.
Vedox loves Memory.
You are giving them the owner for free. Leave Brain Pan and Memory behind. Rule two, silence is still not in your 12. I really wanted silence to be good into this matchup, particularly with the you're going last, so you can just take away the legendary all game on Veteran Captain Boar. However, two things. One, he's going first, and two, the legendary is probably getting used on turn one. You don't need it. Like, silence is, I think it was Jason from Singled Out has just basically pointed out to me, and I tend to agree with him. Silence is a win more model. He is not going to assist you massively. I can hear Connor wanting to contradict me.
I feel like that silence in a nutshell is just being like, I want to play him.
Yes. Because he seems to be like the epitome of what Morticians are. But
I'm just making Shank go last after he kicks just means you can actually kill Shank. But yeah.
Making him go first seems pretty good.
Making him go first when he's got no buffs. But then they just walk away and set up for turn two.
But that's still good.
That's good. Yeah. you've got the ball. Like, you know, so they have zero momentum in that situation. They got one momentum in that situation. You have the ball, you have mobility extension, so that doesn't seem terrible.
Legitimately think there are good players that think all three Morticians captains are the answer in this matchup.
Probably.
Because I know Timmy is a big Morn fan. I think Vince plays Scalpel in the matchup, and Bots thinks it's pretty good for Scalpel. I know I always thought Obulus as well seemed like the choice, but he does struggle to kill a bit more. Scalpel being able to go in, pick off a Butcher and run away is very strong.
Yeah. As long as you don't go after Boar. She is not killing him. But the likes of Shank and Boiler and Meat Hook.
Really everyone else
apart from maybe Roast.
And she's also very good at scoring.
Yep.
So I think Casket is the MVP either way, though.
Casket, like, Casket is money here, thanks to the Season 2 misprint, which means that Ghastly Visage is not once per turn.
Okay, did it used to be once per turn, then?
I
thought it never was.
No, but I think it was meant to be. You know, taking four dice off a charging model as well as the movement, and then you've got Heavy Burden to take more off, and then just his, you know, well-known ability of just being a very, very hard model to kill, although I have seen Veteran Captain Ball one round my Casket, which was terrifying.
He'll do that.
He'll still die. But
you have it in combo with Ghast as well. That's the other thing is, you know, so you, again, you can make them spend more influence. You can make them use things inefficiently. You can reduce their threat. You know, so it's the thing we talked about right at the start is morticians are pretty good at bringing butchers down to their level.
I mean, that's their game. That is entirely their game. I like Pelage here for empathy.
And killer male, because she will, like, you know, most of their output models are male, so she will just destroy Shank.
I think this is a Vile Swarm matchup rather than a Dirge matchup, and then you just put him in annoying places and challenge the opponent to kill them, because you're going to come with me.
I think it depends on the captain, but I think either mascot's quite does useful things. I think
they're both good.
There's just load. Ghast is great just for the inefficiency and the knockdowns. Original Graves is great because tooled up on Scalpel, and then having Scalpel in the all the auras of not being able to charge her just means you can kind of sit her there and wait until they have no one left to go, and then she just goes in, carves up people.
Hemlock means you out-threat them turn one.
Yep.
So,
Cosset,
they got so many options.
Obulus, you know, in terms of repositioning your opponent's model, whether using Cosset to bring Shank forward and Obulus to push Veteran Boar back. You know, they've got so many ways of moving people around. This is a matchup. It's not a surprise to me that looking at, you know, the statistics of who's doing well into VCB, that both Scalpel and Obulus are sitting very, very happily in terms of taking advantage of the big lug.
Yeah, I think Morticians are definitely one of the top guilds in the game at the moment, and one of the reasons is their Vet Boar matchup is better than most.
Mm. Yeah, they have a good Vet Boar matchup, they have a good Blacksmith matchup.
I mean, it's one of the things that that we talked about, Connor, when we did the Season 4 Morticians preview, is that Morticians have a toolbox of weapons at their disposal, and they have a tool for every single occasion. And now, going from Season 3 to Season 4, they have multiple tools for the same situation. So it is going to come down to you as a player as to A, how you want to deal with this situation, and B, how effectively you deal with that situation. Mm. Cool. Navigators. Connor, how does this differ from Fish, if at all?
A lot, actually. it feels so much worse. so I played this kind of expecting it to be similar to Fish. I thought it might be a bit easier, actually, because you can get the two takeouts quite easily. But the problem is, Fish have a lot of control. Navigators do not. They have good scrum control in Azimuth, but the problem is, Butchers just kill Azimuth.
Yeah.
And he has to be within 4 inches of people to do anything.
No one wants to be there.
Yeah, whereas Vet Siren and Yukai can stay quite far away while still affecting the board. This one felt really bad when I played it. So they out-threat you because they have more speed buffs than you. Which is not great when you're playing football. Berserk completely nullifies Ebb's defensive tech. So Ebb is terrible.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That much vaunted, you need 6 influence to kill him, is now you need 3.
Horizon can die in 2 swings to a lot of models. Vet Ox killing Horizon puts up the owner, which is rough. Fathom is still really good in this matchup. Much like she is in Fish, she's actually even better in this matchup because of being able to have full speed ahead from Windfinder. Windfinder just dies. Like, that boar just eats her for breakfast, and there's nothing you can really do about it. Her threat range is shorter. I Spy is really good, but as soon as you're close enough to use it, you die. Siren is not great in season 4, but I think you probably have to play her.
Yeah.
It just feels like a matchup where you probably lose 12-8 a lot because you manage to get two goals or a goal and two takeouts. But it goes, your stuff just all dies so fast. And
yeah, I think that's the thing, is that you want to play fast with Navigators want to play fast.
Yeah.
And Vepor also wants to play fast and generates, you know, it's the same thing right at the start, generates influence, generates momentum, generates victory points
more
much faster than Navigators and can spend more influence. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can fully stack like 3 Butchers, whereas realistically, you can only fully stack 2 Navigators. And as soon as you do, one of their fully stacked models will kill one of yours, which means you've then got one fully stacked model for the turn.
Yeah, and unlike, say, blacksmiths, like disarm on Azimuth, like, you don't have armor.
Yeah.
So disarming people, they're still getting one momentous damage, one momentous damage, one momentous, you know, so they still are getting their 6 momentous results or their 8 momentous
this
results.
This one, of all the guilds I have played into Vetbor, I think this one felt the worst.
This feels to me probably the second worst matchup.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is it's still a matchup. If you're against a not very good player, you can probably win it quite quickly with just Fathom goals and then a Windfinder legendary goal.
Yeah.
But if your opponent knows how to deal with the ball and plays turn one well, it's just really tough because you just can't get close enough to threat the ball without dying. And the one thing is, so the difference with fish, not including Corsair, because that's a whole different thing, but Shark can at least legendary to allow you to get closer, and Yukai, much better, can just throw someone behind your lines, where there's nothing really like that in Navigators, because again, a lot of their stuff works with you having to be within 6 inches of the opponent.
Yeah. Okay. So not great.
I mean, but you're still playing a football-y guild. There's still always a chance to win.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this is becoming a running theme, and it's something I want to touch on when we get to the end. You're not doing anything new. You know, the changes you are making is to your awareness of your opponent. You have to be hyper-vigilant over placement. But it's not like you're suddenly playing a 4-1 team with Navigators. You know, you're not playing an 0-6 team with Navigators. You're still ultimately with the same win conditions you always were. And I think, you know, as we sort of come towards the tail end of this, I think the next 3 that we cover are also going to be very, very similar in that respect in terms of rat catchers. Rat catchers die really easily anyway. You know, they are not a resilient guild. I'm certainly no expert when it comes to rat catchers. I've not played them in season 4, although I was very tempted at the beginning, I seem to remember.
Steve, you've been playing them lately.
Yeah, I've been playing them. They're sort of been Guild 3. I think they have some game. I think it's
They're kind of viewed as the most potent of the minor guilds, I think.
I think
they're at least the most flexible of the minor guilds.
I think the advantage they have is they flex between, you know, they can get the basic mechanics are there. They can get the goals, they can get the takeouts. They have, you know, they're nothing like as strong as their parent guild is. I think you can, if you can score with Squeak on turn one, that can be helpful because if you can ever make it, you know, get a goal where your opponent only gets one victory point in return. That is useful. You can
You're going to have to talk me. You can't just blow past a phrase like that. How are you intending on scoring with Squeak turn one?
It's reasonably straightforward. You tag along, and then you, and so the thing you can do with Squeak that's quite into the sort of dilemma you can create with Squeak. Right? So you stand him next to, say, Miasma first turn. Miasma goes. Miasma throws Rataclysm onto Shank. Squeak tags along. You have it. If you have influence on Squeak, say 2 influence. The what you present is, okay, Shank, you can, like, if you don't go now, Squeak can come up to you, charge you, or walk up to you and buy it with influence and momentum and make you walk into my line. So you're out of range of veteran captain board. If you don't do that and you leave it alone, you just jog or sprint Squeak further up and then reverie them to score.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So the risk is you're often only getting a two-dice shot. That's the tricky bit. But it's a very risk-free in terms of, like, the repercussions of someone taking them out turn one goal. So I think that is... So Squeak has quite a lot of utility. The good thing with Squeak is you can threaten to do two things into them on turn one, and they have to do something about it.
Which isn't bad for a mascot.
Squeak is a very good mascot.
Squeak is fantastic. You know, you still get access to Pelage, so you can still... So the other thing is Pelage can stand in the middle of the team, put damage and snared and all that sort of stuff onto people, and they don't... Again, you're denying the momentum generation. She can kill their players. Piper's fantastic. You know, he can... Again, you can recover the ball. Also, you can... The legendary can be very effective for doing things like boxing Vet Boar in.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you can do things like that as well, and you can do it with the heroic to a certain extent as well if the positioning is right. The tricky thing again is still Scourge is a pretty huge liability against them. Miasma is only defense 4, that sort of thing. So that's the trickier bit, and your goal scoring tools outside of Bonesaw and Piper, your ball recovery tools are, you know, not the best. Bonesaw isn't brilliant at getting the ball back off, say, Brisket.
Hmm.
No, but the thing is, I also think there's a chance they don't play Brisket in this matchup a lot more than in some other matchups.
I think it's an error for them not to do that.
I don't know. Because there's so many, they might. It depends on, like, I think it's one of those Bonesaw chicken things again. But I actually quite like Bonesaw in this matchup, and I've talked to a few other Rat players who do. And one of the reasons is kicking with Piper is super dangerous.
Yeah.
Whereas kicking with Bonesaw, he actually has quite a massive goal threat if you get a good kickoff. And he allows you to pin the ball really useful places with an 8-inch kick. And then at the same time, he can just easily just retreat because he's so fast.
Mm. Yeah.
So either he goes in early, gets the goal, or if they manage to secure the ball and threat him, you can move him back. Also, because of how fast he is and how slow his jog is, he's not likely to be in threat of anyone after his kickoff jog.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. No, he definitely has merit in that game, I think. There's no
also, because I just don't think you're going to outfight Butchers fully. You're going to need to get some goals.
No, you need to score. You're looking to go 2-2. Yeah, I think definitely.
This thing is a guild that very easily gets to 10 VP against Butchers. I think the struggle will be that second takeout.
Yeah, I think they've got decent game, but it definitely feels like one of those you have to outplay your opponent types.
Yeah.
I feel like that's Rat Catchers in general.
Yeah. I'm fine with the person with the most skill winning.
Yeah. I think they give you the tools. They give you the tools to outplay your opponents.
Yeah. You're not looking at that going, I can't do anything. Yeah, you don't feel powerless in that situation, but you do need to play well. I think you need to play a good degree better than your opponent. It's not simply outplay them.
Yeah.
Order then, Connor. This is one you've been playing around with for a while.
Yeah, so I've played this matchup a few times. I think about 4. It's the most I've played into Vet Boar with any guild. It feels all right. It feels not terrible. It feels a lot better if you can receive, but you usually will. And basically, the order game plan doesn't really change at all in this matchup. Like, even more so than some other guilds, because a lot of guilds, they have to at least change their plan because of Shank's kickoff pressure. But because Order have the ability to score first activation on the receive, which no one else really does, I'll tend to find that the game starts, first activation, Spigot scores, and then they basically beat Spigot to death, which is fine. and it basically, like most Order games, comes down to, can the 6 influence Brisket chase down the ball and get you your second goal turn 1? Because if she can, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yep.
If she can't, it's a lot tougher.
Yep.
But she has the tools to do it. She has the tools to get around unpredictable movement quite well, and doesn't really have to worry about Charmed Mail.
Mm.
So as long as you hit that tackle dodge on the first one, you're golden. If they've got the ball on Brisket. It's a bit trickier on Cinnamon because of the 2-inch reach, but you still should be fine for the most part. You've got, and it basically, like most order games, you kind of need to get up 8-2, like on turn one.
Yeah.
But you can. Like the butchers don't really do that much to stop that. The big concern, of course, is if Shank just kills Brisket, then you're probably screwed.
You seen Tenderizer much?
I have not seen Tenderizer much in Vet Boar.
Albert Cox has.
Yeah, he missed
it. Albert Cox seems to always get done by the Tenderizer. No one plays Tenderizer except for people into Albert, and then he misses goals.
Yeah, I've played into Tenderizer and Cooks a few times. But no, I probably wouldn't play Tenderizer into order. I don't think their kicks are so good, and they're so good at getting into tap-in. I don't think it's really worth losing out on other things. But the other thing with them is you can get those two takeouts somewhat. The problem with it is order are very bad at one activation takeouts. They really need to set up a model and then kill it. And into most teams, that's fine. But Shank gets away too fast and Vet Boar kills everything. So there's not great targets for it. You can situationally do it still. But I think every game, I think I've only got one takeout in those four games. And I won two or three of them. But yeah, I think you basically going all in on ball pressure is definitely the way to go. Because, you know, if you can get those two goals with Brisket and Mist, or sorry, Brisket and Spigot to start the game, then you've still got Mist and all the rest of your team to kind of threat the ball turn two. That being said, also, if you get a good kickoff and Mist can score, and then you've still got the Brisket to do the chase down legendary turn one chase the ball thing. So it really is, if you can get to those 8 points, you're in a pretty good spot. But if the opponent kills the ball really hard, you do kind of struggle to overcome that.
But then I think the thing is, I think you're right, the Butchers don't have the best ball-killing tools into that team.
They don't, but
they have
this
enough.
Wasn't playing order. This was my Navigators game,
I believe,
where John just walked Roast to the back behind his goal and dropped the ball within an inch of the edge of the pitch on turn one. And just said, I'm not getting momentum this turn.
And
it was like, and it basically just meant the game didn't really start till turn two, and I scored first activation of turn two. But going up 4-0 first activation of turn two is not great for a lot of these guilds.
Yeah.
So I think it's a tricky one, but I don't think it's any trickier than most order matchups are. Like, I don't think it's one of their worst matchups, because they always kind of die, and they always have to kind of be pressured for goals. The big problem is they do struggle for two takeouts more.
They don't have the ability to prep from range like some other teams do. You know, so like we're talking about with Alchemists, like that lack of, you can't one round someone, and you can't hit someone from distance and then go into them.
Well, and Harry is your only real setup model, and Harry is paper. He dies so easy.
Yeah, he's Rising Anger is not really much of a defense against that.
Weirdly, I think they're a guild that the plot cards can really, really help you get the kills.
Yeah.
If you can get the singled out card or the plus one tack card on Fangtooth, then he can threat killing Shank in one activation.
Yeah. They are very similar to Alchemist that way, because it's like you have
no native.
Because the T or the tack buffs, you can't get them. So if you get them on the card, it is, it's well worth kicking when they're down is similar for...
Yeah. And the thing with Fangtooth is he can just spike kill most things in the game. So if you hit the... If you, like, can hit the ground pound on the first attack, then, like, it's in play that you just hit the six twice in one round Shank with no support at tack five. It's unlikely, but it definitely happens.
Yeah, and also I think Fangtooth's resilience is quite interesting because it's not enough to make... Butchers necessarily run boiler, so his resilience is quite effective in that game.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because it's not like you're gonna just you know, he's not going to sit. Your whole game plan isn't based around it. It's not
and
like
having a captain with unpredictable movement also makes you less likely to want to play Boiler.
Fair shot.
Also, Pride countercharge actually can be useful. It's not so much that it will happen, but it can kind of at least somewhat affect where Shank goes.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so as we approach the 2-hour mark...
What's the roll better record?
Oh, days.
John died. They had to get a new John.
Oh, yeah, that's why he's barefoot on the Pelican Crossing. Union. Sadly for Rage, he is now seeing bigger, better, badder Rage across the table from him.
Yeah.
As essentially... Rage is crown is the boogeyman that kills you is gone.
He really is just budget vet bore now.
Yeah,
as although a man Red that, Fury is still really good.
As a man that owns 7 Rages, a statue of Rage, and has voiced Rage in a podcast, audio drama, Tales of the Three Cities, available now, season 1, Union and Change, season 2 coming imminently. I'm very sad about this.
Surely you should be enraged by this.
and that's just it. I should be, and I'm not. I'm just very sad about it.
I thought it was a mistake not to nerf Vet Rage going into season 4 because he was so good in season 3. And that kind of says how far he's fallen.
I think in this Union's season 4 issues are sort of the same. You know, it's the fact they don't have 2 ways of applying kick pressure. You know, most season 4 teams have 2 models to exert pressure when they're kicking. Union don't. Thus, you really want to receive. And then Black Cart has some game.
Yeah, because... well, the kickoff thing is more than just that it has to be missed. It's that they have no buffs to lair.
Exactly.
Like, tooled up is irrelevant on missed.
Yeah.
Quickfoot.
I mean, they never see it coming
because it's on grace.
Yeah.
And you're not going to play grace and missed because then your team can't fight at all. So you just have no way to use influence turn 1, other than the 4 on missed, and it just feels rough.
And there was a time. There was a time like in season 3, like it was just well known that Rage's. You know, veteran Rage's turn 1 was gash, and he wasn't going to do anything. And in season 3, that didn't matter. And in season 4, it really does.
Yeah.
And
one of the other reasons is just with all the damage going up, his damage is no longer as high comparatively that it was, so it doesn't make up for it as much.
There's a lot more ways of breaking up scrums.
I think you play Blackheart in this matchup. He struggles to get the ball, which is a problem.
But he always has.
Misdirection is really good in this matchup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Misdirection is so strong on Vet Boar, or even on Shank or Boiler, or whoever you think is fully stacked and is going to get the Butchery. I mean, not the Butchery, the Berserk.
Yeah.
Although Butchery, by the way, is quite good in this matchup as well. You can just throw it on Shank from range, and then if he comes in, someone else can beat him up. On my mark, although super expensive, is a way to threaten a model while keeping the ball safe.
You say it's super expensive. If you can hit it off VCB...
Well, I'm thinking more turn 1.
Oh, okay, sure.
If you're receiving, then you're pass for 1 on my mark for 3 to dodge Fangtooth 8 inches forward to threaten Shank. I do think Fangtooth is quite good in this matchup.
Fangtooth's good in most.
I think because Coin and Hemlock gives you the confidence, whatever it's called, Bag of Coffers, blind. Yeah, which is...
I don't think it's an unwinnable matchup.
I think you really want to receive.
Yeah. And even if you receive, the problem is your ball recovery is just not very good in Union right now, which I think is their main problem, is they don't, like, especially Blackheart, that Rage actually can fight with anyone still. It's getting that fight going that's the problem. Whereas Blackheart can't. Like, Blackheart can't really stand up in a fight like the elite fighting captains. And having that tackle on three, and then needing players that also aren't great at tackling, means he's in a bit of an odd spot in general at the moment. And just especially in matchups. Like, Blackheart's still great in matchups where the opponent wants to score the ball, because he's so good at 6-point activations. But where they kill the ball, like, Blackheart's not going to get 6 takeouts into Vetport before Vetport does.
So I think that's a big thing. His sledge is so good as well.
I think you got to play missed, and you got to go 2-2.
Yeah, which I think is the case for most of these things. Most matchups, actually, we're saying 2-2. There's very few you're saying outfight them.
Yeah, I think Smith's
can outfight them. Yeah.
Brewers.
I'm not as confident in the Brewers matchup.
Brewers, you're 4-1-ing, I think.
I think
you are, but I don't think you're winning it as much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I think that is all 17 guilds. One of the big overriding themes that has really gone through all this, which has been really interesting to see, is in so many instances we've said nothing new. We've spent 2 hours telling you what you already know in many ways.
But at least you get to hear our voices again.
What more could you want?
Exactly. No, but what I mean by that is, you know, so many of this matchup comes down to is the basic principles of Guild Ball. That it is about positioning, that it is about understanding threat, it is about understanding how your opponent is going to score and what you can do about that. You know, at no point have we suddenly said, all right, here is the 6 that you take. It's completely different to a 6 you normally take. In every single instance, we talked about playing to each guild's, bar none's, strengths. And I think that's an important thing to remember, particularly for me, as I continue to massively not be sure what it is that I'm taking to Vengeance, because ultimately it doesn't really matter what you're facing as long as you are playing your game well. Would that be fair, gents?
That's an optimistic way to put it. You could also say that you're doomed regardless, because Vetbor will eat all your souls.
I go somewhere in the middle then. I think it's a little bit of I think fundamentals are important. I think it's a little bit, it's worth finessing it. I mean, the interesting one is trying to understand what the Vetbor player is trying to do and what they don't want you to do.
Yeah.
And how you tailor, how you adapt your natural game to suit that. And I think some teams more than others are, you know, you can just play the game you want to play.
Perfect. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me this evening. Handy viewers, thank you very much for listening. As I mentioned, there will be a new season of Tales of the Free Cities Season 2 soon. There is a much bolder, much bigger project than the previous season and is therefore taken considerably longer, but hopefully it'll be worth the wait. If you are at Vengeance, please do come and say hello. Thank you to all people who in the past who's offered to buy me beers and things at tournaments like that. I don't really drink, so don't bother. It's cool. I'm a vegan. Just bring me a carrot. I don't know. That'll do. I will also at Vengeance have the Coin Wars Season 2 Beard Minis coin for the second season of the Coin Wars, that fantastic event being run by Dave Millington. That will be up for grabs. I look forward to finding out who's walking away from the event with that.
And Rich, of course, you're aware that I lost the Coin Wars final to Veteran Boar. So it's a perfect circle you've drawn there.
Very nice. Very nice. And of course, if you are looking for more tournaments to attend, hopefully after the next errata, which may or may not include changes to Veteran Captain Boar, although SteamCon is not with us, there is the London Grand Tournament, 7 rounds of Guild Ball action if we have the players for over 2 days at one of the largest gaming conventions in the UK, with games from 40K, Age of Sigmar, Necromunda, blah 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 blah, all the other games. Marvellous. Do come along. Connor, Steve, thanks very much for joining this evening, and as ever, folks, I need a better outro.
Look at his beard. It's just so beard.
Homemade beard! Behold the beard! Obey the beer. Accept the beer. Obey the beer. Respect the beer. Obey the beer.